Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show that celebrates creating in stories. Let's get together and tune our imaginations. I'm going to start off with this fabulous song. You're going to know it, and I just think you're going to love it. This is a duet with Tony Bennett and Christina Aguilera from Tony Bennett's Viva Duets. I'm going to say the name because I bet you're going to know it. So we're going to go ahead and play that now. Here we go. Have some fun.
Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong because I'm in right. It's for sure, not for maybe, that I'm all dressed up tonight.
Stepping out with my honey, can't be bad, I feel so good. Never felt quite so sunny, and I keep on knocking wood.
They'll be smooth sailing, cause I'm trimming my sails. With my top hat, my white tie, and my tails.
I'm stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong, cause I'm in ride. Ask me when will that day be?
Big day, maybe tonight. I seem to scintillate, it's because I've got a date with a package of the good things that come with love.
You don't have to ask me, I won't waste your time.
But if you should ask me, why I feel so fine. Go. Out with my baby, can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. Ask me, when will that day be?
The big day may be tonight.
What a night.
I love it. I can't believe how incredible that is. Such a great tune. And it makes me want to go to a show to hear that. And it certainly has that swing. It's a good song, you know, for what I call shoulder dancing and toe tapping. It's really wonderful. And of course, that's Stepping Out With My Baby. And it's a familiar song, but I have to confess that I actually did not know that it was from the 1948 movie Easter Parade. And so that was something that I learned. And that was the movie starring Fred Astaire and Judy Garland. And, you know, one thing I did this past week is I watched the trailer for that movie, and I was just kind of blown away. You might want to check that out. There's so many familiar songs in that one movie, and it was 75 years ago, and it features those songs that you can hum along with, and it's just unbelievable to me that something like that has that staying power. It just shows there are so many good songs in the world. And, you know, maybe all of you have this memory too. I can remember, well, maybe not all of you, because not all of you grew up with record players, but if you're lucky enough to have grown up with a record player, I used to spend my free time playing those records and belting out those tunes trying to match the singing of the artist. I never could, but it sure felt good to try. And it's such a wonderful memory to have those times. And I hope that a lot of you did that. And that's what will make this show that I'm going to be talking about today so exciting for everybody. Because I do believe that adding more music to your life is a good choice. Music is a language that connects us. And I believe that if we add music to our life, we can unlock something for ourselves. It's such a joy to fill our heads with incredible music. And that's why I am so excited to share this show coming up, and it is called Castastrophe 3, the Diva Edition, and I'm joined in studio today with three artists from the show. Pauline Jennings is here. Welcome again to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you, Paula, for having us. I'm so happy to be here.
It is a thrill to have you, as well as Pat Shelby, who is part of the band.
Hi, Paula. It's great to meet you today.
It is fabulous to have you here. And Barbara Piper is here. Both of you, it's your first time on Art Zany Radio, so I'm thrilled. And I'm pleased that Pauline was able to get you to come on in today and help share the show. This show features incredible divas singing songs from the roles that they would never be cast in, and it's backed by a killer band. I don't think there's any other way to say that. And it is backed by popular demand at the Northfield Arts Guild. Opens January 20th, plays for 3 days, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Those Friday and Saturday shows are at 7:30. Sunday at 2, you can get tickets at northfieldartsguild.com. And let's have everybody introduce themselves. I'll start with you, Pauline. You're a familiar voice on KYMN. And tell us, our listeners who may not know you, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. All right, I will. I am Pauline Jennings, as you said. And if you've heard my voice on the radio, it's probably because of either Musician Talk, which is an interview show I do with local musicians, but also I do spread my wings and go to Minneapolis sometimes and grab people to
interview.
Still local. It's still local, exactly.
The road goes both ways. That's what I try to tell people.
It does. And then also Curtain Call, which I do with Cosmo Esplin once a month to talk about what's going on in the theater world. And I in this show, Castastrophe 3, I'm the producer and director, and I'm also in the show. I do a couple songs. And I'm so excited to bring it back. I'm so excited. When we finished the show, it was like, we cannot be done with this show because it was such a gem. It is such a gem. And so that's what we're doing. We were able to do it. So
it's very exciting. And that leads us to be able to have two new guests in the studio. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your musical world.
Okay. Paula, I'm Pat Shelby, and I work as the worship leader at Hosanna Church in Dundas. And my wife and I have raised a couple boys here in Northfield. We've made our home here for about 20 years. And every once in a while, I get to do something special outside of my musical world at church. And this show has been one of them. And it's just an incredible treat to get to be. I play guitar in the show. And to be around other musicians, you know, from the area, and get to meet fellow musical enthusiasts, you know. It's a real treat to me. And I actually was pretty bowled over by the experience of this show last September, the incredible singers, and the scope of the show, the variety of the music. For me, as a guitar player, I don't get to play this kind of music. You know, theater music is very challenging and exciting, and tells a story, helps to tell the story, you know. And anyway, it's a little bit about me, I guess.
Welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's a thrill to have you here. And Barb, tell us about yourself.
Hi, Paula. I'm Barb Piper, and I am a retired music teacher / chicken tender.
Are you currently a chicken tender or retired from that, too?
No, I have four. We have four chickens left. My partner and I, and Ed, my partner Ed and I live north of town here, and we have a pretty quiet life until Pauline Jennings came into my world and introduced me to this show and asked me to be in it. And it's been just a pleasure and a quick indoctrination, is that the right word,
sure,
into the Northfield people here. And it's been a real quick learning all these wonderful people's names and becoming a part of a very large world that I didn't know was here. So I'm thrilled And I'm also in another project with Pauline that we've been working on together.
That's right.
We'll hear about that. We'll sometime.
It's still under wraps.
But. Gotcha. Well, tell us a little bit about your, the song was, Stepping Out. And how long have you been stepping out with your music? And when did you know that, being on stage was something that you wanted to do? I'll ask all of you. I'll start with you, Barb, and we'll go in reverse here.
Well, I grew up in a musical family, loving it from day one, and stepping out with my baby just kind of, I loved to tap dance when I was a kid, and so that song just kind of had everything in it for me, all the upbeat tempos, and of course, Tony Bennett and Christina Aguilera's rendition of it was very alluring. So when I got a chance to pick a song I'd like to do, that was the one that I really wanted to do. And with Pam not being in the show this time, it's going to be kind of hard, but I'm going to pretend she's there and helping me along. And
And when did you start performing? You said your family was musical, so it was around you all the time. But when was it that you thought, I think I want to be on the stage too?
Well, I think I started when I was maybe 18. I sang for some weddings in the family, and I certainly knew that I loved the spotlight. So things would just happen along the way while I was in tandem with my teaching career. So whenever I got a chance to be on the stage, somehow there I'd be.
And you're in a couple bands, play guitar, piano.
Yep.
Tell us some more about those experiences.
I have a 5-piece classic country band right now called Lone Rock, and I also sing with Doug Maddow from Faribault. We have a duo, kind of a jazz, we do jazz standards, and he plays keys, and we're called Mad Pipes. And I also write my own music, so I'm currently working on a third CD. I'm at the Wasner Studios doing that.
A great
production.
Studio here in town.
Yes.
So how do you get the, to be able to, those two different genres are really, jazz, and you said, what was it, country?
Classic country?
Well,
the country thing, actually, my brother is the guitarist in that group, and he has introduced me to some just wonderful music that I never really paid much attention to. I guess I was more into other stuff, but there's great things in every genre. That's what I've learned.
Mm-hmm. So. And Barb can cover them all. Not a lot of people can.
That's why I was thinking that there's, a certain sound or range that's required for each of those, or even musical skill to be, especially the jazz that you do. So does it come naturally? Is it something you really work to try to get the sound right for each of the songs?
My biggest love in life is singing. And so anything that has a great melody, there you go. And I'm on board. And then my guitar, I'll do what I can with that to support my singing. So,
Love is singing.
Yes, first love. So standards, there's just great melodies in most genres. So.
And there's so many songs out there, right?
So many.
I mean, you just said you're just discovering songs that you didn't even know. So I think that's a wonderful thing. So I'm thrilled to be able to share your story with
Thank
our
you.
Listeners. Mm-hmm. Pat, let's hear a little bit about your musical journey.
Oh, dear. where do I begin? I was just recalling in my mind, as Barb was talking about, growing up in a musical environment with a family, I remember being in a talent show in my basement singing Daisy or A Bicycle Built for Two.
Fabulous.
And
song.
Someone drawing a curtain open, and I walked out and sang it. I think I was 4 or 5 years old. and I too liked the spotlight. I knew that. Musical family. My mother went to school at Eastman School for Music and could play classical piano. And so there was always music in the house. And I figured out pretty early that it was my thing. I really liked it. I didn't like sports or anything like that. But anything in music, I would get involved in. So I started on drums. I wanted to be a drummer because my best friend was a drummer. And my band director said, we don't need any more drummers. So he said, but I do need someone to play the tuba. So I learned how to play the tuba. And then he came to me and said, I need someone to play string bass. Will you do that? I said, okay.
So I was wondering how someone makes a transition from tuba to strings. That doesn't always translate.
Yeah, sort of a strange trip. And then my friends and I, we were in middle school. We decided to start a band, and I said, I'll play bass. And I can remember playing in my we had a little band rehearsal, and I didn't have a guitar yet, so I put the string bass on my knee and played it like a guitar.
Wait, you were in seventh grade. I'm imagining how big
it was. Huge. It was huge.
How did you do that?
Not for very long. I remember having
Is there video? That's what I want to
know. Oh, no, no, unfortunately. Oh, I can see it so clear in my mind, though, if you could just see it. It's just as strange as you think it might be. And then I bought a bass guitar out of Montgomery Ward's catalog for $60, and away I went. So I played bass and tuba, or electric bass and tuba in school till through college. And then I picked up guitar then at that point. And but then I left school, and I became a bus driver.
And you cannot play the guitar and drive the bus.
Well, not at the same time, but I would do that for passengers. And I traveled with it. I always had it with me. I always kept playing. And then I ended up taking some lessons from an artist that was living in Minneapolis at the time. His name was Preston Reed. Preston is a world-class recording artist and instrumental fingerstyle guitar player. And he sort of... he got me back on a path of music that I really wanted to be on, and he got me out performing again. So I started playing coffee houses and doing like a solo guitar singer, instrumental player, I guess you could say. And then I ended up getting a job at a church and got this kind of a full time church music thing going. And that's been my life, you know, in the last 20 years, with an occasional experience, you know, a diversion into theater, because I've always loved theater. I've done community theater before. And I did a show a few years ago at the Paradise called 10 November. Mm-hmm. They have a two-person pit orchestra. I was one of the two.
Very important role then.
yeah. It was pretty fun to do. And then I got to do Castastrophe a couple of years ago for the first time. And that was terrific and was great to do it again.
So. What I love about your story is how then there were those couple times when there were just turns that, you know, you happened to take lessons from that guitar player. Your band director said, I need a string instrument. And you said yes to those. Yes. What do you think it was that let you say yes? I think...
Well, the other part of that story, Paula, is that growing up in a big family, there were seven kids in my family, and I'm number six. And when it came time for us to make the decision, you know, as a family about...
Sounds like the Partridge Family.
Right, kind of. Yeah, but there's like... there's also, you know, I know parents struggle with the idea of like, is this going to take and do we have the money for this? And someone says, you know, your kid comes up to you and says, I want to be in band. They say, I'm good enough to be in the band. Can I get an instrument? And then they have to make the decision, you know, about spending money on an instrument. And I was afraid my parents would say no. In fact, they did at first. I was supposed to play trombone, and my parents weren't enthused at the time about spending money on a trombone, because you never know if it's going to be worth it, I guess, you know.
Sure.
And I understand that. So then when I came up with this idea that I'll play drums, all I need is sticks.
Economical.
And they're only $16 or something, the whole kit, you know, a little drum pad and sticks. And my mom said yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got started. And then when the band director said, do you want to play the tuba? I said, how much is a tuba? He said, free. We'll provide it.
Okay.
And then when the string bass idea came up, will provide the instrument. So
thank you to music teachers out there who do that.
Seriously. And also thank you to the Fine Arts Board, the boosters, because when you provide, you know, funding for those bigger instruments that are hard to purchase one off, you know, or even rent, you're providing a way for a student to find their way.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that there was that opportunity for me.
You're nodding, Barb. You were a music teacher. I bet you had some similar experiences.
Well, I grew up playing French horn for that very reason. My parents couldn't afford, you know, you have to make those choices. And so if I played French horn, I was lent the instrument from the school district. And my mom played French horn when she was in school for the very same reason. And so that was my vehicle. I got really good on the French horn. And that's where I learned to read music. And, you know, that really set the way for me forward musically. Mm-hmm.
So. Wow, I think that there is so much value in a musical education there, that it's just phenomenal. So I love those stories. Let's hear your story, Pauline. I don't think I know how you got started and if singing's been the thing that you've always done.
All right, Paula, but first I want to say, saying yes when those people show up in your life is so key. So people, everybody, and I'm one that sometimes says no when those opportunities are put in front of you for whatever reason, and just say yes.
It's hard sometimes.
It really is, and a lot of times because of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am a musical theater person, and that's what I've spent my formative years doing. I was on the stage of the mantle in front of, not mantle, I don't know what you call it, but there's a stage, an area in front of the fireplace at home. And my mother kind of played piano. She struggled, but, you know, she wasn't great. There wasn't a lot of music except for, like, Abby Yo-Yo. Do you remember Abby Yo-Yo? Remember listening to that road?
Yeah.
And some folk records that she, Abby Yo-Yo, Abby Yo-Yo, and folk songs. So I would hear those. But I think it just was always inside of me. And this talk about the spotlight, it's just like big, Pauline, it's going to be big.
And so, somehow I can imagine that.
So I'd go up and sing, you know, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, you know, when I was eight, for my mom on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got into, when I was in choir, and I did play some piano and some instruments when I was younger, but that didn't stick. And so I started being in plays in middle school and high school. And the first time I was on stage, I mean, there's just nothing like it. If you're comfortable there and you feel like it's a fit, there's nothing like it, particularly when that spotlight's on your face. And so I did that and then went to college and really didn't do much at all. And then after I moved to Northfield, I met a couple women and we started a group called Dame Station. Lucy Liu, Nay Schweitzer, and Pam Roth were in a trio. And then we started a bigger band, rock country, old country kind of stuff. And that was probably about 15 years. And then I started back up with the Guild and did a couple shows. Most recently, Peter and the Starcatcher. Mm-hmm. And it's funny coming back to the theater when you're 50 plus, because roles are different. They're way different. And you have to accept it. You have to accept the fact that you're not going to get those roles that you used to get anymore. You're going to be the old lady roles now, pretty much. And those are fun. There's nothing wrong with them. They're fun, but it is kind of like a transition mentally. And you're like, oh, no. And that's why this show is
exactly.
So great.
That's a good transition. And because folks that don't know what castastrophe is why don't you tell folks a little bit about how those pairings come together?
Well, castastrophe is based on a show that was on Broadway called Misfit. And I love the name Castastrophe. And the reason it's a Castastrophe is because we have the actors. This time it's all women. This is the third one we've done. And singing songs from roles in which they would not get cast. So there's a lot of women singing men's songs from men's roles. And then also people like me who have aged out of a lot of roles that we'll never get to play that we've maybe always wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I'm singing I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar. And I've loved that song since I heard it. I don't know, when I was 12 when I first heard it. And so this is my opportunity to perform that song that I've been wanting to do for so long. So it's really exciting for the actresses and musicians that are on stage and singers to be able to get a chance to do some of these songs. So,
yeah, and yeah. How did this doing this show again? Because I can't think of another show that's been produced locally that did a second round several months later.
Right,
it's
an
very
encore.
Okay,
encore,
let's call it that. Yeah.
Where we said reboot, remount. We didn't like those words, so it's exactly like encore performance. You know what? That stage sits empty a lot of the year. And it's a great little space to put things on. And Andrea, the executive director over at the Guild, wants to do that. That's one of her missions, is to get more acts on that stage. And so that, along with the show, was so good. It's just this little nugget, this gem that, and people loved it. The audience just was gushing about how great it is. I mean, things like, I can't believe how good that was, and wow, just wow. And so it's like, let's do it again. And we're thinking about maybe other theaters in the area, but that has all sorts of logistical problems with it. Mm. And so I mentioned it to Andrea at the Guild, and she said, let's do it. Let's just do it. Let's have another weekend of it, because we didn't do it for two weekends, which usually the Guild does.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's do another weekend. And those people that didn't get a chance to see it, that were really bummed out,
out
in September, that they can come to the show now in January.
Well, I was one of those lucky people who got a ticket, and it was absolutely phenomenal. I can't tell you how extraordinary it felt in the audience to, one, have the amazing talent of the women singing and the band. To have live music. So how did you feel about coming back and doing it again, Pat? It's a challenging piece for musicians, or a performance, because you're doing a range of music from, current shows that have recently been on Broadway, all the way back to some standards and classics, and every style you can imagine.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was excited to get, the call and get asked to be a part of it, because I did Castastrophe 2, which was a couple years, before, and that was a great experience. And it's all of the... all that show, I think we did at the Armory.
We did.
Right?
Yep.
And it was a fabulous experience. And again, for me, it's, it's a great opportunity to meet musicians outside of the world I normally work in. And also, I think this is a wonderful thing for the community. It's just a fabulous thing to offer to this community. And to get to do it again, I was super excited about it. And it's also just a little bit, there's a little bit of anxiety that comes along with it. Like, okay, this is a lot of music and I don't know any of it, or other than maybe being familiar with the songs themselves. But
yeah, it's one thing to hear it than to actually perform it
and learn how to play it. And, just to open a curtain to my world, a lot of the music that I often work in might have six chords in it at the most, sometimes more, but let's say 80% of the music I do doesn't have complicated chord progressions. But this is a whole new animal when you're involved in theater music. And so I like the challenge. I like the opportunity to learn. And so that's just feeds the thing that gives me joy. But the rest of it that, I get to experience meeting people, being part of something fabulous for the community. It's great. And you know what? It's thrilling.
Mm.
If I could say anything to the people who are listening to this show right now, it's, should I go to this show? My answer to you would be yes. Go. You'll love it. You will love this show.
And we should tell people you can get tickets right now on the NorthfieldArtsGuild.org website. It is opening on January 20th, and it runs just that one weekend. So you got to go that weekend, the 20th, 21st, 22nd, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. And I would agree with what you said. I walked out of there just beaming, and I'm, just from listening and the amazing talent and the gifts that people were sharing and the energy and passion that was behind all of that. It was just extraordinary. So I love, love this show. So I'm so thrilled.
It's fun in another way also. I mean, another thing that lends the excitement to the show is that there's no fourth wall. We talk directly to the audience. We introduce ourselves. We say why we picked this song. And so there's some a different kind of intimacy born through that, through breaking that wall that you don't get when during a regular play, that boundary.
Talk about that. That's your skill, I think, at producing it. And the way that the transitions are done, I mean, like every little element feeds into this wonderful sort of seamless, except for some technical difficulties, would always happen with shows.
Right, exactly.
But it does lend itself to that. Storytelling, and you bring the audience into the show that way.
That's fun.
It is. And so, Barb, you've got a couple numbers in the show. Why don't we talk about the ones that you're doing? You mentioned Stepping Out With My Baby, that is, taking on a song like that everybody is going to go, I know that song. But I listened to a number of versions to try to, select the one I wanted to play. They were all slight. Everybody had their own little bit. So tell me how you look at a song like that and decide how you want to perform it.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it's, again, pulling out the melody that will fit my voice best. And the Christina Aguilera voice, of course, is just such a nice thing to aspire to. But I have to make it fit mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
the other number that I chose to sing as a soloist is Wouldn't It Be Loverly from My Fair Lady.
Oh, another classic.
Yeah, I tried out for community theater way back when, and I got cast in the chorus. I didn't get that lead role. I was way too green, but always loved that song. And so I got to put on my Cockney accent and, go for it.
Mm-hmm. So. And that's the fun thing about the show, too, is you do kind of take that journey across the musical possibilities of musical theater. So you'll probably recognize most of the songs. And if you don't, you'll be like, I want to know more about that show. Or next time it comes up in the theater, I think I want to go see that because, I didn't think that show had that great of a song.
Like Heart of Stone from Six, which is a very, very, very new musical. It sung by Birch Carlson.
Birch, yes.
Oh, it's so emotional. It's about Six is about the Henry VIII's six wives, mm-hmm. and so this is Jane Seymour singing about her child, and it's gut wrenching and beautiful. And so you go on this journey when you have songs like that. Plus, Wouldn't It Be Loverly, which is upbeat and light and funny and fun, and then rockin' songs that you're just And it's so as you said, it's all these genres and has all these different things, and that's part of programming. And so most of the soloists picked out their own songs, which I love, because when you pick out a song, you're connected to it. So you're going to, right off the bat, perform it better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And but then for the duos and we have a trio number and then a one with four people and then everybody. So as I picked those out, I did it by looking at the programming. What holes do I need to fill? Do we have too many ballads? Do we have too many fast songs? That's never a problem, actually. Even for bands, I swear to goodness, it's like, we have too many ballads in the set. Because we all, singers love to do the ballads. So so I filled those holes by picking out those songs. And so one is called A Musical that kind of starts starts the show after the prologue. And it's about two guys. It's from Something's Rotten, and people probably have never seen it. I had never seen it, but it's two guys during Shakespeare's trying to break into the theater world. And they can't because Shakespeare's so good, but then they come up with this idea of a thing called a musical. And it's like, why would you ever get on stage and just start singing for no reason? And it's hilarious. And
I didn't realize that was the history of that song.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and so it does make for a really great afternoon or evening of entertainment. I'm curious, because one of the things we talked about the last time you were on, Steve was on with us about, the band and trying to, work with the song itself. And then, as you mentioned too, Barbara, the each singer kind of has a place that they want to sing, a key, a range, and, you know, trying to bring all that together. So that's from your perspective as a musician, you know, how is that working out those details?
Well, Steve is our bridge.
literal, musical genius.
Yeah, yeah, and he's the one that makes it possible for, you know, he writes out these charts for the most part, I think. Mm-hmm. And he puts them in the keys that fit the singer, and I'm sure that together with Paula, they figure, or Pauline, I mean, she helps figure out, you know, what are the best places for these songs to be sung in. And then he writes the charts out, and then that's where we start. And as we approach the show, we're he continues to be that bridge to help us serve the song, mm-hmm. and do the right things in the right moments to make the song as great as it can be, to support what's happening, to support the singer that's communicating that song. And as a result, I think what happens is it's like we're a team that is striving to do this great thing. And then when we get to that performance, you know, and this performance is coming up next week,
it is.
There are these moments that happen throughout each song. Beautiful moments, powerful moments, exciting moments.
And that's what live can do for you is have, because it's so, everybody feels that, I think. The audience, the performers, and the band. We need to get Pauline out of here because she's got an appointment to go to. So I want to have you quick give a little preview of what's coming up on your radio shows on KYMN so we can make sure and people can listen to more of you.
Thank you, Paula. So Musician Talk, the time has moved, so this is a good time to talk about it. We're no longer going at 10:30. It's going to be at 10 on Sundays. And this our inaugural 10 o'clock show slot is Ben Howe, and that's this Sunday. And he is the synth player for the show, and he really took the band from being really, really good and great to wow, because he's filling all the holes that the guitar player, bass and piano and drum cannot fill. So a lot of these songs, they have huge orchestrations,
right?
So who's going to play the violin? We don't have any violin players. We, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're horns, bells, you know, just all the incidental stuff that make the song rise up from kind of, you know, mediocre or a little better than mediocre to incredible, because you have the whole song there for to support the singer. And so I'll just say he started drums at 4, guitar at 6, and piano at 6, and guitar at 8. He is a phenomenal musician with an incredible ear. Also works as a musical director at church. And so I have a chance on Sunday to talk to him.
Oh, that, so we'll look forward to that.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
What do you and Cosmo have coming up on theater?
That's all right. Curtain Call with Cosmo and Pauline.
I mixed up your shows and combined <Right. them.
laughs> Curtain Talk. Yeah, that would be a good name. You know what? We don't have our February person picked out yet. We like to just do it.
And there's
the
always
cuff.
So much happening there in is. This town. And I thank there you is. For bringing this show to Northfield and making it happen, bringing these guests here. We're going to stay for a few more minutes on Arts Annie Radio while Pauline steps out for an appointment. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us so much, Paula. And I hope to see you guys at the show. Say hi afterwards if you do come. Thanks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much. And I want to talk about that with our singer and a musician, about that idea of a live show. Mm-hmm. And how do you prepare for a live show? Because sometimes, you know, things, you know, a singer can have a little extra adrenaline and goes faster, and so musicians have to keep up, or, you know, there's, you know, some reason you miss a note or just something happens, you know, you trip on your dance step. Tell me about life as a live performer.
Well, as Pat mentioned, there is anxiety. But the thing about this show that I just loved is that it was actually like a love fest, because we all supported each other. Mm-hmm. And there was never a moment where I felt somebody didn't have my back. So if I was to trip on the rug or whatever, forget something, everybody's got this look on their face like, you can do it. And there was it was just incredible to have that kind of support doing something that you so love. And you are dependent on that live element with your audience, because that's what I've craved all my life, is to have that live audience. So it's kind of a catch-22, but you need to have that support and that guidance. And with those Jennings, they are always in the pocket and supportive with lots of love. So
I can feel that as an audience member, that I don't know what you call it, synergy or something, is happening, where there's no doubt that whatever rolls your way, you can make it through.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd agree wholeheartedly with Barb. I think as you approach everyone in their preparation, there's a lot more ground that can be covered by doing things separately, singers working separately, band working separately, because we all have certain things to work on that literally would be wasting each other's time a little bit. You know,
so you have to first come together to some like basic understanding of the song and the roles and the, you know, are you loud or quiet here? Or
yeah, what kind of sound are we going for? Who should be playing here? Maybe... You know, the chart says that, you know, should we all be playing, or should it just be one instrument here for this part? And we kind of work out those details, and then the singers are doing the same thing on their side, working out, and then a lot of those things that could potentially, you know, throw us off, hopefully have been worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we actually get together to start rehearsing together, a lot of those things are working better, you know, or working well. And then there's less to fix. And then by the time we get to showtime, it's, I think everyone's feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to say, you know, kudos to all the singers and all the other musicians that are working in the band. I mean, they're great. They're terrific. They're all working hard. We woodshed on our own at home. And then we work hard when we're together. And there's a lot of fun in that too. A lot of camaraderie built, a lot of togetherness, you know, like, I mean, we're feeling like, we're not just separate people coming together to do this music. We're actually feeling like a tight band, you know, and it shows, I think.
And I think that I was going to say that, because I can pick that up as an audience member, the teamwork that goes into it.
Yeah.
And so I find it interesting. The show is called The Diva Show. And so you might think, oh, you know, this is going to be like one of those. You know, you hear the word diva, right? And you create this impression in your mind.
Right.
And so it's really interesting to me to see that that's not the impression of the songs are that hard, right? That it takes those skills to be able to pull off these songs. But it comes with such a different centering of a group or love, as opposed to just look at me.
It's, right.
It's, yeah. So that energy was really a positive thing. And so what have your experiences been?
It's a very collaborative process. And I do want to say, when I was teaching in Faribault, the Paradise Theater was just instrumental in getting me into the theater again, since over the years, I had kind of gotten out of it because I was so busy working. And Juliana Skluzacic, wonderful,
yay,
wonderful
Juliana.
Friend and person and leader. And so I was involved with the Paradise Theater down there. Rich Larson, that's where I met him. And when I got up here and started working with Pauline and these wonderful people here, I saw all of this crossover. All these people knew each other. And, of course, it's the whole theater world down in this area. And we are very, very lucky to have the leadership and the venues. Heidi Nelson down at the Paradise, they've just done a wonderful job. The Guild Theater, we're you know, Northfield and Faribault, very lucky to have those things.
Yeah, and so we do want to encourage people to come and see this show, because you are going to have a good time. I can guarantee it. I just can't imagine you walking out. If you come in with an open mind and the love of music, there's something in this. And so we should talk about the variety of the music, because I know each of you are only in a – well, you're in every song.
No, actually, no.
Okay.
Yeah, there are some
That's
songs
true.
That
piano solos.
That are just featured with – piano, mm-hmm. or maybe piano and strings or something like that. They're more appropriate. And then there is one song that I was just thinking, no, never mind. I thought it was only guitar, but no, there's other things on it too.
Sure. But what's the style of songs you'll hear in this show? How would you describe the range of music that comes through in this? It was just astounding to me, the variety.
There's a time when I hear that guitar, just acoustic guitar strumming, and that's when you were really featured, I think. And I don't remember which tune that was.
That was in the song that Pauline was talking about. I don't know how to love him.
Yeah,
that's really strong with acoustic guitar. So that's like really kind of almost like folk music that came out of Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a real gentle acoustic ballad, but it has the band comes in and brings some more strength to the bigger emotional part of that song. And
so maybe one way we can look at it is just from the shows that the songs are, it's everything from Tick Tick Boom, which is a fairly new and recent one, a kind of a rocking song.
Yep.
Dreamcoat, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Something Rotten, which is a fun one that is done by four of the musicians. There's Beauty and the Beast, Catch Me If You Can, Porgy. Oh, that one's not going to be performed. I won't say that. Dear Evan Hansen, Newsies, Secret Garden, West Side Story, My Fair Lady, Rent, Les Miserables, Little Shop of Horrors, Hamilton. It goes, mm-hmm. I mean, the range, I think that's what was impressive to me of, and it moves from one boom to the next. And
well, the age range
let's
too
talk about that.
Of the performers.
Yeah.
So that probably is, it's rich with variety that way. Yeah.
I think, Pauline said that at one of the shows that they did last year, they had folks from 14 to 90.
There you go.
On stage at some point during the show. Might be a little bit different because actually probably not a 14-year-old. She's probably maybe
15.
Maybe.
Yeah. And she might be 15 now.
And so I think that's impressive too. And it's just been, I would be curious to know, both of you have had lots of different musical experiences. And so what do you think this style of show has taught you about the world of music?
Mm. It teaches me not to get stuck in one way of thinking and appreciate the variety that is out there for how music is perceived and appreciated in so many different ways, it makes me curious about some of those new musicals. I need to get out there and see something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Like I said, I hadn't, some of those you've heard that they're out there, but I didn't know the music. I haven't listened to it. And then you hear one song and you think, okay.
I got to see it.
More.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so hopefully those will come to the area around here and we can get tickets and go see a show. And this is a way to see like 10 shows in one night.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
How about for you? What has it opened your eyes to about the musical world?
Oh, wow. I think that the... You kind of alluded to it earlier, Paula, but this music is still valid and still impactful. If it's, if we're talking about a song that might have been introduced 75 years ago, it still has impact today. And we can see that not only in the show, but in the audience as well, how interested people are across age groups with this music. And it's powerful. And some of this music, say like for instance, one of the songs in the show is from West Side Story. You just read the song Maria, and because of the catastrophe model that Pauline has brought forth with this show, the song Maria is usually sung by a man, but it's sung by one of our divas, and it's. it will bring you to an emotional place. It's so beautiful and so powerful. And that play came out in the very early 60s, maybe 61. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was in the late 50s, and they made it to the silver screen, you know, the first movie. That, and then it was redone again recently. You know, it's still powerful. And young people love this. Like, even my kids are 20 and 23, and they absolutely love musicals. They love that show.
And they just did a movie of that, which is a remake.
Exactly. And they're like, they're so interested in it. Mm-hmm. And it still means something to them. And so I guess that's what I've learned in the show. Like, there's a broad spectrum of musical theater and musical genres of kind of some of the best that these shows have, and we get to be a part of them and do our best to bring them, you know, the care that they deserve, and to share them with an audience. Oh, we'd love to have people come see this.
Absolutely. You know? And one last time, I want to remind you, Castastrophe, the Diva Edition, opens up next weekend. It's already January 20th. Is it really? It is. Yeah. And that's Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and then Sunday at 2. It's just that one weekend. Last fall's show sold out, so I'd highly recommend you go get tickets. Don't wait to go to the door and get them. Any last words for our listeners? Tickets are, I should mention, I don't think I did, I think they're $20, which is very reasonable for the, like I said, you're going to see like 10 shows in one night. So it's definitely worth it. And general admission, really easy to do on the website. You can also stop down to the Guild downtown on Division Street, and they'll have tickets available for you too if you'd rather do that. Fabulous.
I'll let Barb have the last word.
I think it's just the best kept secret in town.
Perfect.
But now it's not a secret.
Well, and I'm delighted it's being, what was the word, that encore that we heard earlier from Pauline. So, folks, check out this show, Castastrophe. I've really enjoyed spending time with both of you. I want to thank the fabulous Barbara Piper for
thank
being
you.
On Arts
thank
Any
Rate.
I hope
so
it's
much.
Not our last visit, as well as Pat Shelby. Thank you for being a part of the show. Folks, I am so excited for you all to add some music to your life. I hope that you always remember to add some art zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
95.1. The One.